Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Pending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 57, for October 17th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net. So let's introduce our panel for this week. We have Mr. Heavyset.
Allons-y.
We've got Kevo Trek.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
We've got Carp.
What up?
And that's it. All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
We have a lot of news this week. We'll start with Ant-Man, who will shrink down to join Marvel's newest movie. We've got Star Trek returning to TV. Paul Feig working on gay romantic comedy starring Channing Tatum. Michael Bay to produce, may direct, secret Nazi nuke drama Sabotage. Explosions! A24 really is pushing James Franco for Spring Breakers Oscar. Jamie Foxx to play Martin Luther King for director Oliver Stone. And we end with a story about an indie movie, a fan movie, a Punisher that was removed by Marvel. They got pissed off and they removed it. So Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
I really want to do the massive swerve and pick Star Trek, but I'm going to pick Ant-Man because I brought it up before the show.
I figured you were going gay rom-com.
Stop it.
It's official. Someone is going to be cast as the lead in Marvel's big screen Ant-Man, which sounds pretty vague, but according to sources over at Variety, it's down to two choices, either Joseph Gordon-Levitt or Paul Rudd, or possibly a third choice, or maybe none of these choices. Well, that's kind of vague but heavy, but what do you think about JGL, or what do you think about Paul Rudd? Who do you think would play Ant-Man the best in this case?
I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt would do the best of it. He's a guy with so much talent, but I think he's under the radar for some people, and it's really weird. A guy whose career is so long is finally really breaking out right now, and I think it would just be perfect for this role. I mean, when it comes down to the Avengers series, like, he's not gonna, I don't think he's going to be overshadowed or anything. I think he's going to – it's like the perfect fit for the ensemble that is Avengers. So having him as the lead, I think, would be amazing.
I can't see Paul Rudd doing it. And I think he runs into the whole issue with, like, Hugh Grant. He's the rom-com guy. I can't see him doing any kind of action role. Whereas Gordon-Levitt has done Leaper. He's done – he was in Inception and Batman, so he's been he's proven himself in these types of roles, and he's really turning into this really big lead guy. And I really think he can carry a Marvel franchise. Anybody else want to chime in?
I don't find he has the look for Ant-Man. Then again, Chris Pratt never really had the look to be Star-Lord, which is coming out this year, so we'll see about that for Guardians of the Galaxy. There's an article that just came up on Cineblend, though, that says JGL denies Ant-Man rumors.
Yeah, but he's going to say that for sure.
I could actually see him more of as a Doctor Strange. I'd rather him see him as than Ant-Man. Ant-Man, to me, is you need a science nerdy type guy.
Bill Nye.
No, not Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Ant-Man.
No. Like a 25-year-old Bill Nye. I would be sold on it.
So how Jim about Parsons? Michael Cera?
Jim Parsons could maybe work, actually.
Parsons, yeah?
Yeah, maybe.
Any other names we might not have thought here? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Ben Affleck.
You're just going to say Baffleck for everything now. How about Timberlake?
Yeah, he might do actually pretty good.
All right. If you guys think of any names that we might not have mentioned, send us an email, send us a tweet.
The thing with Timberlake, though, is he hasn't shown he can lead a movie yet.
He's never given the opportunity. Somebody's got to give you an opportunity. They got to throw you a bone.
Well, he was kind of given an opportunity in Runner Runner.
Yeah, but Runner's a piece of shit story. Yeah. I mean, you can't blame him for that.
I think he's better as more of a in a supporting role, like in the Social Network or things like that. Well, I guess
again, I think that's just because he hasn't been given the opportunity with a good script and a good movie.
Well, wasn't he in the romantic comedy one with
Mila Kunis? Yeah, that did okay.
He did all right, but I think that's the kind of role he's more suited for. I can't see him being the lead in a blockbuster, as much as I do like his performances for the most part.
Okay.
But my question is, when did Joseph Gordon-Levitt star in a movie called Leaper?
Yeah, actually, dude, you said Leaper.
I said Leaper?
Yeah, he started Leaper.
That's hilarious. Whereas Gordon-Levitt has done Leaper, he's done...
You know what actually just came to mind? Ewan McGregor.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
I kind of like that idea. Or
go ahead.
What about some C-tates?
C-tits?
C-tates. Channing Tatum. C-tates.
Okay. Well, speaking of Channing Tatum, he seems to be busy doing gay rom-coms, apparently.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. Carp, now that we have you on the line, what would you like to discuss this?
Michael Bay nuke explosions.
explosions. Just yesterday, we learned that Transformers director Michael Bay would like to enter the horror genre as a director. And now we have word on a new project that he's producing with an eye towards potentially directing sometime in the future. The Wrap reports that Paramount Pictures has just won a bidding war for the rights to a nonfiction book proposal from Neil Bascom called Sabotage. Right now, the idea is for Bay to produce the project and develop it to potentially direct if all the pieces fit together. If you need your interest piqued, the full title of the proposal is Sabotage, a Genius Scientist, His Band of Young Commandos, and the Mission to Kill Hitler's Superbomb. But it's not a story that hasn't been told before. Carp, what do you think about this? How Michael Bay explosions is now getting into the horror genre?
Well,
as a horror guru yourself, do you think this is a bad idea or a good idea?
Well, I mean, he associated his name to the Friday the 13th remake. I don't remember if he produced it or he has producing credit. I don't know if this Sabotage movie is horror, though. Like, from the sound of it, it sounds more like a World War II drama type thing.
Going to be horror with a lot of explosions.
Well, no. Look, hey, Pain and Gain. We went to see it. How many explosions were in it?
It's true. No. There was not. That was
I find,
none.
I think if you limit his budget and he can't afford the million-dollar explosions, then you have a potentially awesome movie like Pain and Gain. I'm still confused on how this is like a World War II going against Nazis is a horror flick. There's Frankenstein's Army, which is the Nazis develop Frankenstein monsters. There's Dead Snow, which is Nazis, zombies. And then there's War of the Dead, which is more Nazi zombies. So horror and Nazis have been done already. Why?
All they need to do is put sharks in this movie and it'll make sense.
Zombie sharks.
Nazi sharks.
Zombie Nazi sharks.
Zombie Nazi sharks.
Yeah. See, I got to quit my job and just start writing scripts.
I mean, you've already got Sharks in Space, which is going to do mad money, mad bank. Yep. And then you've got zombie Nazi sharks from World War II.
And I'm sure, like, I know bath salt zombies already exist, but I'm sure there's, like, Breaking Bad meth zombies that could also come out.
That's
or
very
Breaking
possible.
Breaking Bad meth vampires.
Wet pet sharks.
So the thing is, I'd like to turn the vampire genre around to it actually being kind of cool again instead of it being sparkly homos.
Sparkly homo. That's awesome. All right, Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Star Trek. There's the Tatum one's a good discussion point as well, but it's hard not to go with Star Trek.
Well, yeah. I mean, your name is Kebo Trek. So although Star Trek is best known these days as a film franchise, it could return to its first medium, television. Could that possibly be in the works? From what Sky News is saying, during a press junket for the film Ender's Game, Star Trek co-writer producer Robert Orci told him that franchise's producers had met with CBS to do a new Star Trek television series. Orky hasn't made any public comment on his own. So, you know, the secondhand statement might be seen as not, you know, it's unconfirmed and stuff like that. But Kempo Trek, I'd like to get your thoughts. You know, if they do it, do you think there's going to be an interest in it? Because we all know that Star Trek Enterprise kind of, you know, failed in it. It only lasted 4 years while the other series lasted 7. And it was pretty much, you know, it had been on TV for so long that it really needed a break. Do you think now, if it comes back with that little break, that it would do well? And if it does, what would be the concept? Would they bring the movie characters to TV? Would they do something different? Let's get your thoughts.
First of all, you hit the nail on the head with partly why Star Trek failed in the early 2000s, where we had about 20 consecutive years of Star Trek having two shows on at once. So it was kind of just oversaturation. People were fatigued with the franchise. And so having that in mind, I believe Enterprise ended in 2000. I can't remember if it was 2001 or 2003. I think it was 2001. So it's been 12 years since we've had a Star Trek show, and I think that's long enough where fans would be really excited about it, because I don't know if you guys will agree, but Star Trek is the best medium for Star Trek is TV. The fans will be interested just because, you know, that viewer fatigue hasn't been there yet. And Star Trek, I don't know if you guys will agree or not, is the best medium for Star Trek is on TV. It's hard to have the kind of social commentary, moral lessons, stuff like that in the movies. Because let's be honest, the movies for the most part, especially the Abrams ones, are just big budget action flicks. And you're kind of missing the heart that Star Trek has. And if they were to make a TV series, I've been hearing, like, it wouldn't be with the cast in the movies, because obviously, you know, Chris Pine's too big a star, Zoe Saldana, stuff like that. I've actually been hearing a bit of rumors that it could be a potential Sulu show. Like, back before Enterprise premiered, there was talks of having a show with George Takei's Sulu. And I think they might go that way with John Cho's Sulu if they went with a series.
You think Sulu as a character can carry that?
Not at this age, I don't think he can. I think he's still too young. If he were to be a captain, it wouldn't be believable at all.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like when T'Kai, I said T'Kai before, but when T'Kai was rumored to be in the Star Trek show, he was already about 55 or something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Here's the thing. Let's give my two cents here. Because, yeah, I do agree. J.J. Abrams, his movies are very big action movies. You know, you are losing that, the core of the series, which was long, drawing-out storylines, just social issues, that kind of stuff. You can't really put that in, you know, 2 hours of film. But the thing is, maybe what people conceive Star Trek as has changed. They prefer to have more of an action-type movie, but a throwback to the old school, instead of, you know, 7 years of the longer, slower-paced TV series. So is it possible now that it's been, you know, 10 or 11 years since we've seen it on TV, that there's no more interest in that kind of Star Trek, where they're into more of the simplified kind of big action movie Star Trek?
Despite what any of us might think of the Abrams movies, one thing they have done is they have brought new fans to Star Trek who, after seeing the movies, go and watch the old shows and discover them for the first time. So I think, you know, the prime Star Trek universe type of storytelling could still work in today's day, because I know a lot of, and I guess you need more than just a hardcore Star Trek fan. But a lot of, you know, the old school Star Trek fans are still clamoring for a new series. And if you can bring some of that Abrams fandom to the small screen, I think it could be really successful. Will it go like that? I think it would be a mix of the both. It's going to be set in a new universe, but it'll be a mix of what Star Trek was and what it is now. It won't just be action because there's not the budget for it. And it won't be more about character development and story. It'll be some kind of amalgamation of the two.
You haven't been watching TV recently, have you, Kevbo? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's got a huge budget. Sleepy Hollow, that's got a huge budget. Supernatural has a bigger budget than it used to. The budget's there for TV if it's willing to pull in. Walking Dead, like, I mean, there's no more worrying about budget. If companies are willing to invest their products and commercial time on those TV shows, then you have your budget. It's that simple.
Here's a question. If Star Trek were to come back, where would we see it? What station? Who would provide that, do you think? Or what would be the best for it?
Who owns the rights to it?
CBS owns the TV rights.
So, there you go.
I would actually like... I'm really noticing the last few years that I'm not really a fan of network TV anymore.
What about sci-fi or sci-fi?
No, I'd prefer to see it on one of the grittier cable networks.
About Showtime?
Yeah, exactly. Showtime, HBO,
because
AMC.
I think CBS had something to do with Dexter. Because I know sometimes a show will be shot at, say, CBS Studios or something, but it'll go somewhere else. And I almost think if they were smart enough, they would shop it elsewhere. Because I'm looking at, from the whole sci-fi point of view and everything, of if they were to have it come back, they need something like BBC America with Doctor Who. And no commercials, and that makes that show even better.
I would just like to see it off network TV, because I find the two issues I have with network TV is it's predictable, and... the longer seasons I find hurt shows more than it helps it for the most part. Walking Dead, it's between, I think this year is probably going to be 16 episodes, but it's had 13 episode seasons. Game of Thrones is 10 episode seasons, the stuff like that. Breaking Bad, it varies 10, 12. I think that model of TV works better than 22 episodes on a network TV. So I think they'd be able to take a lot more chances if it was off network TV. I'd like on an AMC, a Showtime, something like that.
Yeah, but how would that would work? Do you think CBS would just give up their property? It doesn't make sense.
Well, they don't necessarily. They don't necessarily have to give it. Oh, I guess. Well, yeah, that's a good point because
I know Voyager was syndication.
No,
right?
Voyager was UPN. Deep Space Nine was syndicated.
Okay, and how did that work? Why was it syndicated? Because CBS didn't want it?
No, I think it just ended up going in syndication. So sometimes, syndication's not as prevalent anymore. It's more cable networks and stuff like that. If it was in their best interest, the best interest of preserving the franchise, I think they got to go on cable.
Wouldn't it be, because the ratings aren't the same, right? If you get a Walking Dead, although the quality is better, you're getting better ratings on the networks, no?
Walking Dead was the fourth most watched show this week. Breaking Bad, 10 million for the last episode.
Yeah, but other episodes, they were getting a million.
Well, no, well, built over time, but Walking Dead's averaging well over 10 million an episode these days.
But that's an exception, right? The majority of these cable shows don't do that.
But the thing is, you also have to consider network shows need better ratings to stay on. So, for me, in an ideal world, maybe it's not realistic. I think Star Trek should be on cable because you'd have shorter seasons. You'd be able to take more risks. Another thing I find with network TV is there's very little risk. If someone's in the credits, 99% of the time, they're not going to die. Whereas in cable, I think
unlike
they're getting
the Walking
away.
Dead.
Yeah, The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, stuff like that, where week to week you have no idea what's going to happen. And I think, as much as I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, let's be honest, none of the main characters are going to die this year. There's zero.
Yeah, but that could be also a factor of who's casted. Normally these smaller, with Walking Dead, you're not getting big names that are originally casted. So if they die off, it's not a big thing. If you're casting a big name, Chevy Chase isn't an action, you're not going to kill him off the first week. It makes no sense. So it's as much who's casted in the show as it is if it's a cable network show or not. I mean, you have to factor that in.
I prefer actually mostly to be unknowns, kind of like Deep Space Nine was. I mean, Voyager had Kate Mulgrew, who was a bit known. But I prefer that kind of casting rather than casting a big name, because like you said, they're most likely not going to die if they do that.
But the thing is, too, if you're looking to get ratings, you'd want a name in there. So it's kind of a catch-22.
I'm not sure. For Star Trek, I don't think that's as much as an issue. And if they did go with the John Cho type show, I think that would be the name you're looking for. But I would prefer to see it on cable and have a 13-episode season rather than a 22-episode season.
I was going to say, I think one thing we got to think of, too, I think if you were to list the top 10 TV shows right now, at least over half of them are going to be on HBO, Showtime, AMC, companies like that. We're not seeing as many ABC.
Netflix.
NBC, oh, Netflix too. I mean, but basically, like, I would just use Doctor Who of how that is, because, like, I love the fact that there's how they come out and the fact that there's no commercials in it. And with those episodes, they're much longer, so it's not, they're not obeying to the 20-minute, 40-minute episode for the standard episode. You can go a full hour or more. And I think that's what, another reason why cable would be better. I'm not even a big Star Trek fan, but I think that could pull me even more, because it'll be just set up more for being able to sit down and watch a full episode without any commercial breaks, without trying to sell you shit.
Yeah, no, I agree that it probably would be a better quality show on cable. I just don't see CBS giving up the rights, and unless there's some kind of specific reason. But anyways, we talked a good 12 minutes on Star Trek there. Let me throw a curveball at you. We've got an idea here. It's for Paul Feig. He's working on a gay rom-com with Channing Tatum. I think this could potentially be a film game changer, because the only time I've ever seen gay lead characters, if it's like a biopic or, I don't know, just like a documentary or something, we've never really seen mainstream gay characters headline a movie like this. I asked a couple of women just in my inner circles, friends and stuff, I asked, would it be appealing for you to go see it? And there's a high curiosity factor for it because it's very new. I know you're instantly going to lose the straight male audience, and I hate to say that, but like myself, I wouldn't go see this. And I don't know if it's because of my homophobia. Maybe I'm homophobic. Maybe it's just I don't want to be caught in there, or I'm just against it because I'm not desensitized to it. But I would instantly not go see this because of that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And I think a lot of males wouldn't go see it unless, you know, their girlfriends kind of dragged them to it. But it is definitely a potential game changer. I want to throw that to you guys, get your opinion on this.
I think when you look at it, guys were going to go see it because it had Channing Tatum in it. So it's like the women are already going to go see it because of him. So if you make it gay, I don't think you're losing anybody. It's kind of like benefiting from it. And then he has to have a high gay following too, so that could benefit even more. So it's like they're almost catering to his audience, so it should be perfect.
Here's the thing though, it's the thing I was curious about is, you know, you get movies like Twilight and stuff, so you cast like, you know, semi-retarded women like Kristen Stewart in the movie because, you know, women think, oh, you know, she's a plain Jane, yeah, I have a chance to go with Edward and stuff. But in this case, the women can't put themselves in the role. They can't put themselves as like the female lead. There is no female lead. It's two males. So would this kind of turn off women because of that?
It would actually attract them more so, because it's something innovative and new that they'd want to go see. And a lot of the women that I know try and consider themselves very open-minded, and they'd be, you know, one of the first people in line dragging their current boyfriends or their other single chick friends to go see this gay romantic comedy. And honestly, if it's Paul Feig, I could see him adding some female lesbian element to it as well to try and draw in the straight male single audience as well.
Like, you figure if you get the two hot lesbians.
No, yeah, that's it. You get the gay couple who end up going to the lesbo bar or whatever, or, you know, the gay bar, and there's a bunch of hot lesbians there. You know, you got your lipstick, you have your butch. So yeah. If it's... like, I don't know how stereotypical this guy usually goes. For Bridesmaids, he definitely had some really funny shit. So I haven't seen Heat. I can't tell. But so far, he's one for one from what I've seen.
Do you think there'll be a potential backlash?
Oh, of course there will be. There are complete arguments right away. I mean, look at what's his name from Ender's Game saying, like, he's super anti-gay, and that's already causing backlash.
Scott Card.
Yeah, it's gonna cause some upheaval.
But that, it's going to be controversial.
But that's a good thing if it kind of knocks down some barriers and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, it's going to desensitize, especially heterosexual males. You know, and I'm not going to lie, I'm uncomfortable with the idea of this film, and I know that that's a bad thing to say, but it's just a natural reaction. And with maybe with more of these movies and just, you know, gay men coming more into TV and stuff, it might desensitize people. So, you know, maybe it's a good
thing. To me, it would be the trailer that will sell me on the end of this. If the trailer looks freaking hilarious.
If they're, like, blowing each other.
Well, first of all, it depends.
Why does that look what you immediately go to inside?
If you're talking at PG-13 Quebec or rated R in the States, that's one thing. But, I mean, rated R in the States, they swear, like, too many times, and then they show a boob, it's instantly R.
Because in Quebec,
they show full frontal nudity and no action, and it's PG-13, so.
Yeah, you know why I said that jokingly? It's because every heterosexual male's like fear is that you're just, you know, you're going to be walking down the street, some gay guy's going to try to blow you or something. And I know that sounds so fucking
that's
ridiculous.
So homophobic.
Yeah, that's
but that's
homophobic.
It. I agree, but that's the way, you know, heterosexual males think, and I don't think I'm in the minority here. And again, I'm not saying what I'm thinking is right. I think it's wrong, and I think it's good that these movies are coming out. Well, it's just it's a game changer.
Here's the thing is, like, personally, when I say fag about something, I don't mean gay. I mean it's stupid. Like, fag has had so many meaning over the last two centuries. Fag used to be a bundle of sticks. That's what it originally meant. Now it's like, you know, a dick biker is complete fag because he's some douchebag biker.
Isn't it also a cigarette?
The issue episode of South Park where they're calling bikers fags and they're like, but we're not gay. It's like, yeah, but you're still a fag. He's like, but we're not gay, but you're a fag.
But isn't a fag also a cigarette in British?
Exactly.
It is. Yeah, it is.
So but, according to the Westboro Baptist Church, cigarettes doom marriages. So,
but like we were discussing, Keith, over the weekend, do you guys think there'll be a backlash on Tatum?
Instantly, Westboro Baptist Church will try and burn down any cinema in their area that's playing it.
No, but do you think he'll get any negative backlash from it?
I mean, he's done the smut movies. He's done the Magic Mike, so, you know, and the male audience didn't give a shit.
That's true.
One thing I want to throw in, too, when it comes to the women going seeing this, don't most of them have a gay best friend anyway? I mean, I know mine does.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, for sure. Yeah.
See, I think if Tatum gets to have a gay movie, his wife should be in a lesbian movie.
Yeah, full frontal
nudity. It's only fair.
Yeah.
Full frontal nudity.
Did you see her on Chelsea lately, the last couple of weeks?
With the black outfit?
She had the post-baby boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, wow. Here's a question, because Keith and I were...
Who's Keith?
Old School and I were disagreeing. Do you find her hot?
Yes.
Heavy?
Who's her...
She's Jenna. She's not ridiculous
she is
hot.
She's gorgeous.
You have a certain taste, like in the Selena Gomez-type chicks. Like, I'm not saying she's not good-looking. I'm just saying she's not Jessica, you know, Alba. Jessica...
Oh, she destroys Alba.
You're an idiot.
Her name is Jenna Dewan. She's an actress and...
I don't know who she is off the top of my head.
Oh, man, she's pretty freaking gorgeous.
Thank you,
Jessica
Garb.
Alba, I don't know. She's up there, but I don't think she's quite Jessica Alba. But goddamn, she's hot.
All right. Wow, long story. Long stories this week.
Some good topics.
No, very good topics. Yeah, a lot of good topics this week. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. Machete don't tweet, Carp.
Machete don't tweet.
All right. So what'd you think of this movie?
If you've liked the first one, this is the exact grindhouse, over-the-top, super campiness, high body count gore that the last one was, even more so. It was all sorts of awesome. There's all sorts of comedy bits. Tons of beautiful women. The limited story was pretty exactly what it had to be. Mel Gibson played an awesome bad guy. I'm really looking forward to his Expendable 3 role now because of this movie, of how great he was a bad guy. Trejo's perfect in this. Sofia Vergara is great. Cuba Gooding Jr., Lady Gaga, Antonio Banderas, they were all great in their role. This movie was fucking amazing. The kills were really well done. Some of the blood was with CGI, which pisses me off as an actual FX gorehound. But I'll deal with it when there's as much blood and gore as they had to use in this movie.
Awesome. So everybody did a good job. Mel Gibson did a good job in the supporting cast.
Yep. Supporting cast was very impressive. Seeing Alexa Vega of Spy Kids fame grown up and wearing very limited clothing was like a holy shit moment for me.
Did you feel dirty?
A little bit. A little bit on the inside. I tried not to feel too dirty on the outside since I was with two other male friends at the time. So
there you go.
But I definitely suggest seeing this movie. It's a solid 8 helicopter kills out of 10 for me.
Awesome. I am going to check this out.
You got to see the first, though.
I will. I promise I will see the first.
Just like the other Grindhouse films, they have a Grindhouse preview for another Machete film coming up at the beginning of the movie. And just from that, we were already laughing and marking out during the movie.
Oh, shit. So. Nice. Is this a movie you have to see with the fanboys, like the Expendables movies? It's better when you go that first night with all the crazy fans.
Unfortunately, I guess because Gravity still had a strong hold and Captain Phillips came out, there wasn't as many fanboys as expected.
Okay.
But like you could see just from the money it made, it didn't do that well. I still really liked it. So it is a fanboy movie. If you go with the guys, it's a more enjoyable experience.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office.
Weekend box office.
Gravity has got some good legs here. Only a 22% drop off. It's grossed $43 million to lead the movies again this week. It's got a total domestic of $122. Captain Phillips debuted with $25.7 million. Very good offering for the first week. Tom Hanks is definitely still a draw. Got a lot of good buzz for this movie as well. With a budget of $55, I'm sure it's going to make its money very soon. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 came in at number 3 with $13.7 million. Machete Kills, number 4 this week, debuted with $3.8 million. This is atrocious. This is not a good thing for this studio. You think they're going to come out with another movie now?
I think they will. It'll make its money back in the end with DVD and Blu-ray sales. It ended up grossing over the three-day U.S.-Canadian weekend, $4.2 million. So it'll make its money back.
Any idea on the budget for this thing?
I can only assume it was... With some of the CGI, I would put it under 30. I'd put it 30 or under. You're not exactly paying a high... You're not exactly paying a high-caliber cast here. I think maybe the highest-paid people are probably Gibson and Trejo.
Right. So, yeah, because the supporting cast, it's more...
And, you could still... There's people who are in the other ones as well. Who are in this one as well. I can't see Michelle Rodriguez making $10 million for each machete. I mean...
No, for sure.
But it's going to make its money back. They are going to do the third one, I'm sure. It's already half done anyways because, like I said, they had already had the trailer for Eddie Kills Again before Machete.
It's looking like it had a $20 million budget about.
Yeah, so it did make a third of what it did the original release, but it's still going to make its money back in the end.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of options this week. Runner came in at number 5 with $3.7 million. It's got a total domestic of 14. Prisoners got $3.6 million, down 36%. Total domestic of 53. Insidious Chapter 2 racked in another $2.7 million. It's got a total domestic of 78. Number 8, Rush, $2.3 million. Number 9, Don John, another $2.3 million. Total domestic of 20. And right off the top 10, Baggage Claim. Got another $2 million. Let's check out upcoming movies for this week. We've got a couple. We've got one also with the famous Chloe Moretz. Is it Chloe Moretz?
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Chloe Grace Moretz. This is Hit Girl from Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2. She stars in Carrie. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts when we get back.
From his lighthouse evermore. To us, he gives the keeping of the lights of
life. Pick you up after school.
The other kids, they think I'm weird.
Carrie, favorite poem? Did you bring one?
I don't want to be. I want to be normal.
Wipe that smile off your face.
I have to try and be a whole person before it's too late.
She's made innocent. The curse of blood would
not. That's not even in the Bible. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Go to your closet and pray.
No. Pray. No!
You pray, little girl. You pray for forgiveness.
Let me go! If I concentrate hard enough, I can make things move. Other people out there like me who can do what I can do.
You know the devil never dies. He keeps coming back. You gotta keep killing him.
No!
Prom is next week. You don't have a date already. Maybe you want to go with me.
Mama, I've been asked to prom.
No. They're gonna laugh at you.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
Mama, stop it.
If the two of you are planning some kind of joke on a poor, lonely girl.
Your king and queen are...
I
this looks really good, and I am not a horror movie guy. Of course, we know about Carrie. I mean, this is a remake, but I'm really impressed already by Chloe Grace Moretz's acting in this, and especially in this trailer. Julianne Moore plays that crazy psycho mother really well as well, Carp. Is this something you want to check out? I'm guessing yes.
I do, but I'm worried at the same time because it's another PG-13 movie. You know, you're going to dumb down some of your original violence, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's not rated R. I'm really surprised.
Yeah, well, you're going for your younger crowd now. Julianne Moore and Chloe Grace Moretz as the mother-daughter combo really looked like they give Sissy Spacek and her actress mother at the time quite the run for their money acting-wise. I'm wondering if we're going to have a surprise breakout star like the original Carrie did in John Travolta, though.
Really?
Yeah, in the original, Travolta was like the bully boyfriend of the chick who pours blood on Carrie and causes all the death and destruction at prom. So, but like I said, I'm kind of worried about PG-13. I don't believe a horror movie in any way should be PG-13.
No, definitely. I mean, if you want to cater to that audience, a very passionate audience, you're going to want to do it rated R, in my opinion. Heavy set. Do you want to check this out?
What is my track record on horror movies? You know, really, really bad, right? I don't like any of them.
You're like 2,000% on watching all of them, aren't you?
This is anti-that, because it's almost everything that freaking Carp said. And I do like the fact of Julianne Moore and Chloe Moretz. They really do look like a mother and daughter duo. It's very, very believable. Chloe Moretz, definitely one of the top stars in Hollywood right now, and she's on her way up. And for this to be a remake, and I know a lot of people bitch about remakes, I always hear it all the time, but I think this is going to be good even with the PG-13 rating. I think it's going to find a way to work.
PG-13 or not, I might give this one a shot, and I'm not a big fan of these movies. Throw this one now to Escape Plan. This
hey,
is
what
with,
about me?
Well, I know you're going to say no. So
no,
so
maybe not, actually.
Go F yourself.
All right, Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts on this. Is this on your radar?
First of all, I think you guys are all wrong about it being PG-13, because from everything I'm reading, it's saying that Carrie secures an R rating.
Oh, because I saw on IMDb it's 14A, which is basically PG-13. I mean, now then again, like I said, PG-13 in Canada is completely fucking different than PG-13 in the States.
You're saying it's 14 or 14A?
14A, it says. On
14A, that's you can go to Tim Hortons after.
You're talking about?
I don't know. I'm seeing R everywhere, but anyway.
MU America, yeah. With your lightness. Yeah, PG-13.
If I'd ever see a horror movie, it probably would be this, because like you guys said, you know, Chloe Moretz, she pretty much steals any movie she's in. And if she's the star of the movie, I think it'll be a really good job. So I'd be tempted to see it just because of her.
There you go. All right. Escape Plan. Schwarzenegger with Sylvester Stallone. This seems pretty interesting. I'm going to play the trailer and get your thoughts when we come back.
The mind of a man confined works differently than someone on the outside. He sees things in a different way. A successful breakout depends on three things. Knowing the layout, understanding the routine, and help from outside or in.
We got a runner.
Put your hands in the air now!
Showtime.
Ray Breslin is able to break out of any prison designed by man.
We're testing a prototype facility to deal with people no government wants on their books. The people financing this need to know these facilities are escape-proof.
Contact on site.
The warden's name is Roger Marsh.
When do we start?
We just did.
Welcome to your new home.
I'm Warden Hobbs.
Hobbs. Where's Warden Marsh?
There is no Warden Marsh. This is the reality, and there's no way out.
Go make some friends. You're gonna need them.
Back away.
Who were you before you came in here?
I break out of prisons for a living.
You don't look that smart.
You don't either.
It's the people who paid for you to be here. I want you here forever.
Ray's gone off the grid. Where is he?
This is the Shadow World.
Code name the tomb. Phrase anywhere, it's it.
Where is here?
I don't know. This was a setup. Somebody wanted to bury me.
You have a choice. You can die in here, or you can get out and punish who put you here.
I'm going to find out who, and I'm going to find out why.
Let's do it.
I need a diversion.
Okay. You hit like a vegetarian.
It's good.
What's he up to?
They're planning an escape.
Lockup procedure engaged.
Drag the rats back to their cages.
If I don't get out, I kill you.
Fair enough.
Your time is up!
You tell whoever put me here, I'm gonna burn this place to the ground.
This is on my list. I'm probably going to check it out this weekend, so I'm a definite yay. Let's throw this one to Kev Bouchrek first. Get your thoughts.
Well, I don't think Stallone and Schwarzenegger could ever make a good movie together. Of course. Who wouldn't want to see this?
Carp, you want to check this out?
Yeah, let me know when you're going this weekend. There's a good possibility I'll be joining you.
There you go. All right. That was quick. Heavy, it's on your radar?
Maybe on a cheap day.
Really? You got two big names there, man.
I'm right. Not as big a fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone as you guys are.
You're not a big fan of film, then.
Well, you know, I just don't...
When I think classic American cinema, I think Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the wonderful world of DVDs.
DVD release.
Kev Bouchrek, what's that this week, man?
We have a couple big ones out this week. We have The Heat, starring Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. I checked that out but a week ago, actually. I got a legal download, and I think Heavy was right when he said, you know, it's something that you don't really have to check out in theaters, but it's very entertaining. Heavy, you want to segue to that?
Yes, I agree. That's what I said.
Awesome.
And the big movie, I didn't end up seeing it in theaters, but... I wanted to because I think it works best there is Pacific Rim.
How about the one Pacific Rim Job?
Yeah. No? And there's also for us Canadians, there is Slapshot coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh, God, really?
What do you mean, really?
Is that the remake, though?
As far as I know.
It's the original on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's the original.
Okay, cool.
Dude, I'm going to have to hijack your segment, like a hijacking that's coming out this weekend. Or today, Tuesday.
Yeah, but I like to talk about movies that make more than $1 million.
Maniac Remake is going to make a lot of money on Blu-ray and DVD. That looks creepy as fuck. Elijah Wood playing Maniac? Holy crap, I've seen the trailer. Yeah. Elijah Wood looks as creepy as he did as that Kevin character in Sin City. And then Colony, which was actually filmed in Canada, is another one you should be talking about because that also looks pretty awesome. Terrible person.
All right, what I've officially done now, I've taken Kevin off the DVD. Carp is now going to be the official DVD guy because Kevin, you're just dropping the ball on this, and I'm putting you to the weekend box office.
That's better.
Yeah, there you go. You're the numbers guy. I'm giving you the weekend, and Carp, you're the DVD guy now.
Booyah.
Speaking of that, let's get into the wonderful world of Netflix.
This week in Netflix.
All right, we've got some interesting titles this week. Arrow comes out on the American side. Very good television show. Very cool. Canadian and American side, we have a Netflix original, Russell Peters Notorious. So he's doing a special just for Netflix. I'm loving this original content from them. It's available, you know, on any. If you got British Netflix, American, Canadian, it's great about Netflix. It's an original series. There are no content restrictions. Also on the American side, we have Paranormal Activity 4. That's Kev Bouchrek's favorite movie, along with Vampire Diaries. And on the Canadian side, we also have Gone Baby Gone. Fantastic movie if you have not seen it. Love the story on this. And, of course, Scary Movie as well. So I don't know who wins. I think it's pretty much up in the air.
Actually, there's one on the U.S. side that I'm going to give to. It's a documentary that I actually want to see. It's a band called Death. It's about the first punk group officially recognized. They're the first black punk group created in the early 1970s. I want to see this, and I do not watch many documentaries.
And you talk like caveman all of a sudden.
I don't understand this technology of microwaves cooking with food with demons inside.
What is the internet?
I'm just a caveman lawyer.
Yeah. That, by the way, that completely bombed from what I heard. The Geico Caveman TV series?
Yeah, the cave. No, what I was talking about, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer from SNL.
Oh, jeez, really? I've not seen
that. Phil Hartman, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
Did you guys check out SNL this week? Bruce Willis was on.
Boy Dance Party.
Jesus.
Boy Dance Party.
It was good, man. I got a Roku last week. I'm watching a lot of Hulu Plus, and I'm catching up on my SNL. Even the Miley Cyrus episode was good. It was good around her. I felt, you know, she wasn't funny, but everything around her was very good. Get in the carbs bargain bin.
I love sluts, I love whores, I love tramps, I love skis, and I love sluts. I love sluts.
Carp, what do we got this week, man?
This week would be Inhuman Resources, a Fangoria.
What?
Inhuman Resources, or the original name it actually had was Red Ink, R-E-D-D Ink.
No, I like Inhuman Resources.
Inhuman Resources. It's actually developed and produced by the people at Fangoria, the horror movie magazine. Or it's presented by, I should say. It's one of those trapped, or what, horror in one location, as I like to call it. Kind of like Buried or Captivity, where it's a group of people trapped in a location. What happens is it opens up, this girl opens an elevator door, a head falls out, she starts screaming, and there's a crazy looking dude with an axe inside.
Oh, shit.
You find out there was a trial, and the guy being accused of murder went to a mental hospital, and they do all these, you know, illegal type of things to him.
Did they rape him?
No, well, they do like unsanctioned lobotomies and shit like that.
Oh, Jesus.
He escapes, and he's blaming these people for incarcerating him when he was innocent. So he captures the six people, the psychic who says if he was guilty, two of the witnesses, and a few other people, and he makes them work on proving his innocence. And then when they make a mistake, he puts a scar on their head. Five scars, you get what's called an evaluation, and he murders you.
Wow, it's, talk about having to be,
yeah, it's pretty rough,
do your job properly.
The lead actress, the main chick who's scared all the time, she's played by this actress, Kelly Paternity, very cute. She looks great in the movie. She does a really good job as a scream queen. And even the supporting cast and the bad guy were really well done. The gore was impressively done for certain points. This, for me, for a horror flick, is a solid 8.5 out of 10. Or I should say 8.5 eyeballs torn out of head's head. 10.
Wow. I'm going to check that out. Do you know if it's on Netflix?
I've actually got it on DVD. I could probably pass it to you.
Yeah,
so,
that sounds good.
I got it at the Blockbuster going at a sale in Plattsburgh deal.
All right. Yeah, speaking of Blockbuster, are they pretty much done? I know they have their video on demand service.
In the U.S., they still have quite a few stores. I know that. But their share prices are dropping on a weekly basis.
Yeah, no, they've got their video on demand service, which is, you know, they're attempting to take some business away from, I guess, the Amazon Prime market, Vudu and stuff like that, where you pay for a rental. But the thing is, that's going away, and not many people are interested in paying for rentals. It's unfortunate. And I actually rented one of the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. We're going to do a Van Damme retrospective very soon, and I rented one of the movies just to check it out, see how the service worked. It worked very well. Got my HD movie streamed, no hiccups or nothing like that. But yeah, that's the thing, man. Everybody's used to that Netflix model now, and nobody really wants to pay that $4 for the rental. They'll just download it. They don't care. It's interesting to see how these industries are going away slowly but surely. And I think the movies in terms of, you know, DVD rentals and stuff like that, that will go away. It's going to take a while.
I do say, though, that Blockbuster will survive in certain parts of the U.S. because their network is still not that great. I'm sure
that's
this
true.
Is a trending mobile technology type of argument, but
for sure.
As I like to call them, the sticks, you're never going to have solid internet access out there.
You know what? So. The massive Wi-Fi distributions, when LTE and Wi-Fi really, they put up those cell towers in those remote locations, it's going to be a lot easier than running cable. And slowly but surely, it's getting there. But you're right. It's not going to be an overnight thing.
Well, hey, don't forget, when we went to, New Year's Revolution in Albany? Hey, yeah, check out StableWars.com. I don't have the internet. Check out StableWars.com. I don't have a computer. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not what you can do in that case. All right, let's close the show, get our plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with you, Carp.
Well, I already plugged it, StableWars.com. The Bound for Glory pay-per-view is up for those few people who still watch TNA.
There's three of them.
Also, the UFC pay-per-view will be up for Saturday, so if you'd like to play the guessing game and do your best until the end of the year and possibly win a DVD from StableWars.com.
See if you can beat the Mountie. Heavy set. Let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
If you're going to pick anybody in those fights for the UFC, make sure you pick Jessica Evil Eye, a friend of mine who will be fighting on the card. Hoping she comes back with her victory for her UFC win. And www.kayfabesports.com. Same old, same old.
Is she going to be in a primary fight or one of those, like, the jobber fights at the beginning?
She's going to be on one of those Fox Sports fights. It's kind of like if you look at it on Wikipedia, I happened to pull it up earlier, and there's, like, under fights, the main card fights, but then, like, in the under fights, there's this particular portion that's going to be on Fox Sports.
Oh, she'll be on there. That's cool, man.
Yep.
Wait, Jessica I is taking on Sarah Kaufman?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I'm going for the Canadian in that one, Sarah Kaufman.
I'm going to go. I'm going with the girl that I went to high school with.
That's awesome, though, man. She could totally kick your ass, too, I can imagine.
She could probably kick all our asses very easily.
It's combined, yeah.
Like, just fucking we would all attack her at the same time, and she would make us individually tap. She would probably make us all tap out at the same time.
And actually, awesome. if you go back on the old Trending Topics feed from Blog Talk Radio, you can find one of the very last episodes of Anything Goes, where I had her on, and me and her had a kind of interview, just talk some shit.
That's crazy, man. That's cool. All right, Kepo Trek, final thoughts.
Not much. I guess I'll just plug.
Oh, there you go. Hey, big surprise there.
I have a plug. Much.
You don't have a plug.
I have a plug.
Dude, episode,
you've never had a plug ever.
Well, let me save plug. My plug.
57 episodes, zero plugs.
Episode 100, plug. You have to do a Kevbo Trek retrospective of closing thoughts.
I'm telling you, man.
It will be me.
It's like 3 months. It was Resident Evil every week. Then it's pretty
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Episode 100. Get ready for it. The Kevbo Trek retrospective.
That's awesome.
All right. So what do you want
to
plug?
I would like to plug a new internet startup company.
What?
I know, eh? It's called Facebook.
You fucking ass.
Hey, right. Twitter's going IPO soon, man. So
I should have saw that. Invest. All right. So for Kevbo Trek, Carp, Mr. Heavy Set, this is old school. Thank you very much for listening.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the
Bill Nye is Ant-Man.
Science rules.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Inertia is a property of matter.
Bill
Nye the Science Guy.
Bill, Bill, Bill.
T minus 7 seconds.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. download and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly at oldmovies.net, that's oldmovies.net. So let's introduce our panel for this week. We have Mr. Heavyset. Apparently we don't. Is he still there? Heavyset, where are you? Like, you're muted, dude. Heavyset. All right, so we don't have Heavyset.
Sorry, my phone froze while I was trying to do shit, and I'm like, will you quit? Will you fucking unfreeze, damn it? So,
but come on, man. Machete, don't tweet, Carp.
Machete, don't tweet.
Cuddy with a chance of Meatballs 2 came in at number 3 with 13.7.
I want to re-say that. You said Cowdy with a chance of Meatballs.
I said Cloudy. Yeah, you know, maybe I got
you missed out.
Cloudy.
You said
Cowdy. I said Cloudy. We're going to play it back later, and I'm going to prove you wrong. Machete chills. Hey, chill out, Machete.
Machete don't chill.
Machete don't chill.
It was pretty cool.
What was that?
Said it was pretty cool. The girl who does Miley Cyrus.
I can't hear you. You're cutting.
I said, how about now?
No, keep. Try again.
How about now? Am I cutting?
Yeah, okay. You're good.
At this point, I'm saying fuck it. Let's move on.
All right.
What's the comment?